how much we matter to him. That he comes in the need through his resurrection, he comes to the need of our deepest soul cry to him. Then we had this second one, Mary, an affirmation that he knows us by name, he knows our situation, he knows exactly, because he's made us and we are in his image called to serve and worship him. And so it turns to the words, go to my brothers and tell them a ministry and a purpose that God has given us. Then the fourth one, peace be with you, a blessing that Christ brings to, words of encouragement to us. And then you have anointing, receive the Holy Spirit. We talked about that last week, and I have very encouraging comments from you and text and even emails, how helpful you found that. Looking at that incredible breathing of the Holy Spirit between receive the Holy Spirit and the outpouring between the Sunday, resurrected Sunday, and the Pentecost, and how receive the Holy Spirit is different to the outpouring of the Holy Spirit, i.e. the baptism in the Holy Spirit. And one of you has asked me the question, but why? And what's the, I can't remember what the word that the gentleman used, what's the evidence or the proof? Well, let me tell you what the proof is that is. Do you remember Peter that we looked at a few weeks ago in our journey here in preaching as a disciple of Jesus? Peter struggled with that as well, about believing Jesus Christ as the resurrected Lord. And yet, Peter saw Jesus as he was alive forevermore. Peter was empowered and equipped and commissioned to go and preach the gospel to the Jews especially, and Paul to the Gentiles. But Peter didn't preach a sermon or didn't mention a word about Jesus Christ until after Pentecost. He received the Holy Spirit as he believed Jesus as Lord, but then he was baptized in the Holy Spirit, and what happened after that? He preached the gospel and 3,000 people came to Christ. There's the evidence. There's the difference between the two as such. And it can be a controversial subject, but as I said to you, we hold the middle ground rather than having one or the other. And then the next one is if you forgive anyone's their sins, as I mentioned to you before, I don't want to spend more time, that this is the first sermon really that Jesus preaches as a resurrected Christ, is forgiveness. That's what is the chief, that's what we remember this morning and we celebrate it, and we in a way giving thanks for this morning. And so it comes to this last, almost the last sentence that Jesus as a resurrected Christ speak to his disciples intimately. Stop doubting and believe. Stop doubting and believe. Let me just put a little definition for you up there. The faith is seeing the world from God's point of view, and not from our point of view. How God sees the world. I haven't got the time to expand on that, but I would also like to say this to you. In this passage, when Jesus says, Thomas, stop doubting and believe, it doesn't refer to a mere academic faith that I exist. Yeah, you know that, Thomas. You know that I can heal people, that I made miracles and done that and the other. Thomas, you know, you've heard a lot of the things, so I'm not asking you to believe that. I'm asking you more than that. Do you know what the real meaning of that word is here? And this is something that I want you to grasp and probably write it down in your Bible and never forget it, or on your heart, even better. Faith, it is about faithfulness. But faith, in the words described here by Jesus, stop doubting and believe. The word believe there in both Hebrew and Greek, it's about character. It's about character. It's about person, who you are. Because who we are defines how we behave and how we and what we believe. Because what we believe also defines the way we act and the way we serve and the way we commit to things. faith here is more than just an academic exercise or a belief in something or a theological stance or sentence or whatever. It is a transformation. Thomas, stop doubting and be changed. Let your character now change. Why? Not because you've just seen the miracles that I've done, the healing that I've done, you've heard the sermons that I preach, but because look, this is more than just an academic exercise. I am alive forevermore. Come, come and touch. Come and see. Come and be transformed. Faith is about character. And faith, belief, let me do another distinction here for you. This is just coming to my mind now. There is faith, and the disciples believe that Jesus was Lord. Yeah, they believe that. But they didn't have the chance to witness to a resurrected Christ. Let me put this here. In the New Testament, to be a disciple of Jesus Christ takes a couple of things. If you confess with your mouth, yeah, that Jesus Christ is Lord, that's what the disciples did, that's what we do, we confess, yeah, that Jesus Christ is Lord, and secondly, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead. Well, the disciples, up to this moment in time, they couldn't do that. They believed in another sacrifice in the Old Testament that will carry them. As they believe in that sacrificial lamb that was brought on the altar, they believe that will take them into God's presence. Now, the Lamb of God was revealed to them as a real person of Jesus, the real sacrifice. Now, Jesus says to them, Thomas, stop doubting and believe. Now you have seen me as the risen cross, Christ. This is what New Testament faith is all about, confessing with your mouth that Jesus is my Lord and my God, Thomas exclaimed. But secondly, is that now Thomas has seen him as the risen Christ. That's what makes New Testament belief. For us as Baptists, this is fundamental at the core of our belief as disciples of Jesus Christ. All who believe in Jesus will be forgiven. They've never had that privilege before to see a risen Christ. Now the disciples, and this is what Jesus says to them, stop doubting and believe. I am alive forevermore. Now you can confess with your mouth, you've seen me, and you confess throughout my ministry that I am Lord, because I walk on water, because I calm the storm, because I heal and cast out demons, because I preach the gospel. You confess me as Lord. But now you can believe that I am the risen Christ for the first time ever. And so we have forgiveness, the benefit of forgiveness as we believe in Christ. This is one of the benefits. We have a purpose in life. God has given us his grace, as Daniel shared a couple of weeks ago with us here in church. And of course, finally, we have eternal life. Those are the benefits of belief. But also, part of that, to trust God, it takes us more than just an academic exercise into the sharing of our faith. Because we believe in a risen Christ. Because we believe he is our Lord and master of our lives. Secondly, is this, I only got 3 points, so this is the second, is that as we believe and we confess, is that he calls us to serve. Give yourself completely to God. Every part of you, I love that translation. For you've been saved from death, and you want to be tools into the hands of God. I love that. Tools into the hands of God. Tools to restore broken lives. Tools to knock on somebody's door and say, how are you doing? Tools to write a nice card, an encouraging card to someone who's suffering or goes through a bereavement. Tools to bring a smile to someone. Tools to buy someone a coffee or whatever. Tools of God's grace. What a privilege that is. Why? Because we believe that he is the Lord of Lords, and that we believe with all our heart that he has risen from the dead. after he is Christ. As such, we have been called to serve. And thirdly, and one of the most important things, and the privileges of our life as disciple of Christ, is that we've been called to share in his path from glory to pain, from wonderful majesty to suffering, a wonderful revelation of hope and joy to the reality of life that we go through today. For you have been given not only the privilege of believing in Christ, but also the privilege of suffering for him. It's a privilege indeed, as Philippians remind us. You know, I've seen people during the pandemic and before, but somehow the pandemic seemed to accentuate the fact that it's shaken for many of us our faith. For some of us, it strengthened it, and we had opportunities to get closer to God. For some, it's been a bit more of a struggle at times. And I have met a couple of people, and I'm not saying that to criticize them, bless them, but who have really struggled during the pandemic with their faith and their walk with God. And one of the questions I ask, why do they think that's happened? One of the persons that I was having a coffee with not long ago said, it's pain. The pain that I've seen, the pain that I suffer and endure. The pain of losing my loved one. It causes us to question our faith. Another thing that I've, in another conversation with a group of people, is people like you and me struggle with unanswered prayers. And faith can become a little bit shaky on that. There are unexplained tragedies, and we've seen in the last few months of that. This is where doubt comes in, and I've got 2 minutes and I'm finishing. There are intellectual doubts. Outside the Christian faith, people usually express those. There are spiritual doubts. This is usually happens here in our church and community, in us as Christians. And there are circumstantial doubts. And this is what I discovered in the last few months and this couple of years, that these circumstantial doubts that have been brought about, the circumstances in our lives around us, have kind of given permission to people to ask the question, why? But why? If God is good, if God is righteous, if he is holy, why this has happened? And this happens both between people who trust in Christ and those who don't. And many people think that doubt is opposite of faith, but it isn't. As I've already prayed, it's a stepping stone to faith, and let's use it as such. Many people think that doubt is unforgivable, is a sin. I remember a couple of years ago, I went to do an assessment on a young lad who was training for ministry on his sermon, and he preached, bless him, his wonderful preacher, wonderful communicator, but all he gave that congregation was that if you doubt, you are in trouble. And I felt so sinful by the time he finished that service that I had no more faith in him anyway, but in any God, in God whatsoever, and in anything that I was called to believe. Faith, doubt is not a problem to God. Use that to come closer to him. I've got much more, but I haven't got the time. So I'm going to leave it to this, I think. Remember, faith is about character. Faith is about confessing Christ with our mouth and witnessing to his resurrected power. Faith is more than just an academic exercise. It's a walk with Christ to serve, to obey, to pray, to continue to be part of a fellowship like this. Faith stops usually doubt, but it will not cancel it. Without faith, and remember what I'm going to say to you, if you don't have faith, you will have no doubts. But because you have a faith, or because you have doubts, it means you have faith as such. Let me just pray, and then we have a wonderful song to close with, and Can You Be. Father, we thank you that we for purpose of grace, of forgiveness, a life of serving, of ministry. And you have given us this wonderful gift of faith, the gift to believe not only that you exist, but that you are who you say you are. And because of that, we believe in a resurrected Christ, in a risen Lord. We believe that you are our God who called us, and through his promises, you fulfill God's love in our lives. You bring it through your Holy Spirit that we may experience it new and afresh. May we believe through the renewing of our minds and the transformation of our hearts. May we continue to believe because we have seen you, the risen Christ, in the scripture, in people's lives, in those who sacrificially have been suffering for your name. Lord, we trust in you. We believe in you, and we affirm that today. Lord, help our unbelief. And even if our faith is as a mustard seed, it is your faith in us that fulfills what you have called us to be and do. May we believe. And in your name, the name that is above all other names, the name of Jesus, we pray. Amen. And can it be that I should believe? Amen.